That was Batonga we were just listening to from Angélique Kidjo's, one of her early albums, in fact her first album released on Island under her own name, the album Logozo. That was actually Angélique Kidjo's second album under her own name, her first on Island Records. It was released back in 1991, and it was Batonga and Way Way from this album, and the videos of those pieces that were probably the most popular early pieces that brought Angélique Kidjo to major international attention. And Angélique Kidjo will be performing here in the Lehigh Valley at Music Fest Cafe on Wednesday, February the 19th. And we have the great pleasure of having Angélique Kidjo on the line with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, or maybe good afternoon by the time we broadcast this. Welcome to WDIY.
Thanks for having me.
We are really looking forward to having you in the Lehigh Valley. I believe it will be your first appearance here in the Lehigh Valley. Is that correct?
Yes, it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
I personally have seen you in New York many times, but really excited that you are coming to the Lehigh Valley. We play a lot of your music here on WDIY. We have a couple of world music programs.
And yay!
Yes, you've been a favorite here for probably since the station began back in 1995.
Wow!
Yes.
I love that!
Yeah, so we are excited to talk with you and have you coming to the Lehigh Valley.
Wow! I can't wait to see you guys finally, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, I've had the pleasure of catching you in New York a few times at some of the outdoor festivals in Brooklyn.
But now I'm coming to where you play me.
Right.
Which is better than you coming to see me in New York.
It is indeed, yeah. And it should get you more of an audience here in the Lehigh Valley.
Oh, yes. I'm going to love that.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your early career here. You're from Benin. You left Benin, I believe, in 1983 and relocated to Paris. And you studied jazz in Paris. Is that correct?
Yep.
And your early albums, you were working in an Afro jazz group with Jasper Van 't Hoff, I think, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And
you get all of that correct.
Yep. Hey, he was a fine pianist.
You are really a fan.
Oh, boy. And you had one album under your own name that was basically a jazz album, and then Chris Blackwell, I guess, heard you in Paris and picked you up for the Island label, and that was the beginning of some fine...
Long journey, yep.
Yeah, of some fine international exposure on your album, Lugoso. And the videos, yeah, I guess the videos probably had as much impact as the music, I think, right? At that time, your videos really stood out.
Yeah, because I have... from the beginning of my career, I was lucky, as you said, to have Chris Blackwell, because I went to a lengthy discussion with Chris about what I wanted to do artistically, and video was part of it. And he said to me, you know better who you are and what you are, you know better what you want. And that was one of the concerns before I signed the contract, to be able to keep my artistic freedom that has been given to me. Chris was the one that taught me, really, that between the album, video, and the performance, they have to be a thread, something that link all the three together, that the video are as important as the song that I wrote, because the song, when you bring image to it, the people listen to it differently.
Yes, sure.
And I was very conscious about my image, because I didn't want any other people's imagery of Africa or the phantasma to define who I was. So I choose carefully the director. We speak lengthy. I see all the proposals, and I choose what I want. And most of the choreographers that work with me, I have to teach them some dance move from Benin to incorporate into that and to keep it modern, but still the root of the dancing and the music will be from my country.
Right, and you are still dancing today, right? You still move
Absolutely.
Tremendously on stage. And
Absolutely.
I should mention for our audience, Angelique Kidjo, singer, musician, composer, dancer.
All those things go together, you know that, right?
Absolutely. But in addition to all of that, now an author as well, and also a activist for women's rights, African rights, Africans' women's rights in particular, and we will talk about that. So I know you have a huge, varied career, but those videos certainly, not just how people perceived you, but how people remembered you as well. I think those videos helped your performances stick in people's mind without the slightest doubt.
Yeah, that was the purpose of doing them, I think. And also having the patience to do them. People see the video, but it takes at least one day of shooting, but days of preparation. And I'm not known for having patience for nothing, because I have it in my mind.
You stayed with Ireland, what, for 3 or 4 albums?
Oh, I spent 10 years with Ireland.
And was that
most of my career, I mean, was a bulk of it was with Ireland.
Okay. And was that while you were still living in Paris? Tell me, when did you relocate from Paris to New York?
I relocated in 1997. I arrived in New York, I think, August or September in 1997.
And you've been living in Brooklyn ever since, I think, right?
Yeah, I lived 1.5 years in Manhattan, and it was not really suiting my child. My child was 4 years old, and she could not deal with the noise of Manhattan.
And Jude, let's take a listen to a little bit more music from you, and then we'll talk a little bit more. One piece I loved was the treatment you did of Bolero, which you rechristened as Lon Lon on your Gin Gin album. And that was the album which won you a Grammy back in 2007. Mm-hmm. But tell us a little bit how you came to choose that piece. I was quite surprised, and it worked magnificently.
Well, the Ravel Bolero, it started with the first musical school I went to, where I was trained basically to classical singing. Our vocal coach in the school was from the Italian school of opera. So it was my first 2 years when I arrived in Africa to realize in France that classical music have different technique when you come to sing. And one of the reason I was very interested in going there is because my father told me before I leave, you have to know your voice. You have to know your capacity, your limit, what you're able to do. Learn more. Different lessons is important for you, because I start singing in Benin without any vocal technique. And doing all those listening, sometimes we listen to classical music here and there. And one day she played Ravel Bolero, and before the class started, and I was sitting down there before everybody comes in, and with some students were there, and I say, "But this is African. It's written in African mode." And of course, the bully of the school turned around to me and said, "Yeah, right. Everything is about Africa. You guys in Africa know nothing about nothing. This has nothing to do with Africa." I said, "Yeah, I'll prove you one day that is wrong. You were wrong. I'm all right."
And of course you were right.
That's where Bolero, Ravel Bolero come from.
Let's take a listen to a segment of it. Angelique Kidjo performing Lon Lon, Ravel's Bolero, from her album Gin Gin back in 2007. Mia ruwe mia rotona se lo lo ya over mi duelo
Non viva mia ilo. Va, non viva do tone a se, e alolo non vigne. Non viva do to agbe yawo, non viva do to agbe yawo, non viva. Mia ilo agbe le tekwa wo, mia ila. Mia ilo vivida. Na me siame. Dum, 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 dum. Va, no te va mi, mia no to nasce. No te va mia due lo. Mia due, mia no to nasce. No lo ya o va mi due lo. No viva mia ilo. Viva do to agbe yowo, no viva do to agbe yowo, no viva. Mia ilo agbe le tekpo wo, mia ila, mia ilo vivida. Na me siame. No no vado, no no neka, no no vado, no no neka, no no vado, no no vivida. Mia mia no du sesende, mia du welo, ne mia kulo. Chichueda y mumbiana me siameda, no coco cudo vivi no lo fafaro. No, 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 Famila, a quei agnomi giovani.
That was a beautiful treatment and really stood out. And that album, I think that probably contributed to that album winning the Grammy for you.
And I dedicate my Grammy to the African women. Instead of wearing all those loads they wear on their head from one place to the other, I say, I'm going to put it on my head to share that load that you carry every day.
I mean, you're famous for your cross-cultural collaborations. You've collaborated with so many different musicians, both from the classical, the rock, and the jazz side of things. Just tell us about a couple of your favorite collaborations.
All of them were special and my favorite because it's a statement to let the public out there know that there's no frontier in music. Music is an universal language, and the genre of music that you do, it doesn't matter because all the music that we do come from the human family that we are. We all come from one man and one woman. Now, our ancestors are the same. It doesn't matter what skin color we have. So therefore, our musical gene is what we have in common. You can call it rock and roll, you can call it R&B, you can call it classical music, whatever it is out there. But we can all bring those things together. We can just break the wall that put them in different boxes and say, this is music and we don't care what you call it, we're playing together. That's the whole purpose of collaboration, because every collaboration has taught me something. And I hope that I've taught the people that collaborate with me something too.
I'm sure you have, and I fully agree with what you have to say there. I mean, unfortunately, here in the media, we need to put labels on things, to put things into programs with different titles so people have some idea, some expectation of what they're going to hear. But you're right, those labels get in the way, and we really enjoy playing stuff that crosses those barriers and putting on programming that does allow people who may typically only listen to rock music to listen to some world music, or people who only listen
to
classical.
Don't we also do the same categorization with people?
Yeah.
That's the thing. And it's what is the challenge that we have to overcome. A human being is not a matter, it's not a color. It's more than a color. I mean, it's just so, a human being is so complex, yet it's that challenge that nature or God, whoever you, whatever you want to call it, put in front of us. How are we going to be smart enough to live with the differences of each one of us? We are the same, yet we are unique. The way we approach problems, the way we solve them, will be different. That's why I like to work in team, because every brain have different logic to it. And that logic allowed you to grow up and to move in many directions because you wouldn't have thought about it. So if we are able to work with people's brain without thinking about the color of the people, why can't we just remove all those boundaries and saying black area, white area, Latino area? We're creating ghetto. We're creating pouches of violence by segregating everybody and putting the people in boxes. I don't like that, and I don't want to live like that.
Yeah, that, I think that message has come over very, very clearly in your music and your performances. And you work as a UNICEF ambassador, and I guess that plays into some of the work you do as an ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also formed your own foundation, I believe, your Batonga Foundation.
Yep.
Do you want to say a couple of words about those two activities?
Well, Batonga Foundation is my foundation, and it came about during a trip with UNICEF where a mother told me, well, now that we've followed your public service announcement on TV and radio to put our girls in school, what are we going to do if our girl wants to continue secondary education? And because secondary education is very a sensitive moment and a key moment for the girl or to have a life, going to school, or to be married very early. So I started thinking about it. And right at the same time, Wangari Maathai received the Nobel Peace Prize, and I made some research about her life, and I found out that as a teenager, she received a scholarship from the John Fitzgerald Kennedy Foundation. And when she completed her school here, she went back to Kenya to become a parliamentary that brought environment issue to the forefront of the politics in Africa today. So I said to myself, why don't I put girls in secondary education? Maybe we will have another Nobel Peace Prize one day. We have to transform Africa, and to transform Africa, it has to come from the women, because the women for centuries have been the backbone of that continent. Without the women of Africa, Africa would be in a worse shape than it is right now.
Yes.
So that's why, that's the purpose of Batonga. Give scholarship, mentoring program, tutoring program, and 1 meal a day, uniform books. Those girls that come from extreme poor background, that are orphans of HIV/AIDS, or simply orphans of one parent or both of them, or that are disabled. The brain of those girls need to be seen, need to be heard.
Your new album actually came about while you were on a trip with UNICEF, I believe, and you were in Kenya, and that sort of sparked the format for your new album, Eve, which is dedicated to African women and empowerment of African women, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. Kenya was the defining moment for me because I wrote all my music talking already about women issue, violence to women, forced marriage, female genital mutilation, and not equal pay for equal diploma. All the issues we are facing in the 21st century, we are blabbing about how developed and how technology is helping us. And women's status in our society is still something that we are not ready to face and say, this is wrong, let's fix it. And I arrived in that village in Kenya where the women are dealing with stunting of themselves and the children losing them. And it just, I don't even have words to tell you how it felt because they start singing with their vibrant color of clothes on. And you go, oh, you didn't have words because your whole body is shivering and your heart is ticklishing. It's like you just like, you feel alive and you feel empowered, humble at the same time. And you're like, how am I going to make this relevant to people out there? And that's when the concept of the album comes to, because that village is one of the poorest I've ever seen, but the spirit of the people, man, is indomitable. I mean, it's just like, you can't just stop it.
Okay, and Jake, let's have a listen to your collaboration with a number of the Kenyan women with a Kenyan choir on your lead-off song on your brand new album, Eve. That album's just come out, and I'm sure you'll be playing material from that on your tour when you are on the visit here to the Lehigh Valley on February the 19th. Let's take a listen to the lead-off track, Mbamba, that features some of the Kenyan women you were talking about, and then we'll get back to talking more about the album. This is Angelique Kidjo, her brand new album, Mbamba.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful piece as well. Really nice to lead into your new album with. Tell us a bit more about the new album. You've got music from various parts of Africa. You've got a huge amount of collaborations on this album. Musicians from Vampire Weekend, Dr. John's in there, the Kronos Quartet are in there. You have a trio from your home country of Benin who are with you, and I think I'll go out playing that piece. That's Trio Tariba. Tell us a little bit more, both about the album itself, and then when you're here live on February the 19th, what band you'll have with you, and will you be able to recreate much of the music on the album with all these different collaborations? Or tell us a bit about the music and the band you'll have with you here in Bethlehem on February the 19th.
Well, I'll have four men with me on stage, because women cannot do without men, and men cannot do without us. Just, it's just a necessary evil. We have to live with one another.
Necessary, but not evil.
Then, of course, you have the voices of the women, because technology will allow them to be present vocally.
Okay.
So you're going to have that. That's for sure. So we're going to have fun, as usual.
And in your band, Lionel Lueke, will he be with you?
No, Lionel won't be there. No. Lionel is has his own career. But I have another guitar player that played on the album most of the songs, Dominic James, that's going to be with me on stage. Then I have a bass player, a drummer, and a percussion player.
Okay. And, of course, you'll be dancing. As well,
we are going to be dancing. Don't even think about me only dancing.
The whole place should be dancing, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did it come about? Was this your first collaboration on the album with Lina Lueke?
No, Lionel have played on Jin Jin too.
Oh.
And have played on Oyo too. My last three albums, he has been there all the way.
You mentioned that you have a new book, your autobiography, just out. Will you be bringing copies of that with you and signing them when you're here in Bethlehem?
Don't know yet. Probably yes. Right now, I take everything as it comes, because there's so much lining up that I'm still thinking about how to make everything efficient, not too time-consuming, and pleasant to the public.
Okay, sounds good. And yes, you're about to begin the tour, I think, right? And you'll be on tour for a couple of months.
Yep.
I know you're going to be down in, you're in New York. You're doing a big concert at Town Hall for the World Music Institute a few days before you're here in Bethlehem. You're down in Washington and Philadelphia, and then up here to Bethlehem and ongoing with the tour. Let's go out listening to your collaboration with Trio Tariba, also from Benin, your piece, Hello. Do you want to say a few words about that piece?
Hello, it's a song about celebrating getting together when two consensual people choose each other and to get married versus a forced marriage. And Trio Tariba is a young group of girls from Benin that they are really great. So I wanted to give them the opportunity to appear, as I have been given the opportunity when I started, by other artists that helped me through.
Yeah, that's an essential role, isn't it? Absolutely essential. And that collaboration sounds superb. And to my ears, that's one of my favorite tracks on the album. But it changes as you listen more. But that one really caught my attention, and we've been giving that one airplay. Absolutely.
Oh, great.
Angelique, thank you so much for taking time with us to talk with us prior to your performance upcoming here at Music Fest Cafe on Wednesday, February the 19th at 7:30 p.m. Well, we're really, really pleased and excited that you're coming here to the Lehigh Valley. And thank you so much for talking with us today. And we look forward to listening to you. And let's go out listening to Hello, your piece with Trio Tariba from your brand new album, Eve. Thank you very much again, Angelique.
Hello.
Hello,
what color me?
Gido asu jawa jawa. Hey, hey, jawa jawa. Hey, hey, maybe do la. Hey, hey, do bello. Gido asu jawa jawa. Hey, hey, jawa jawa. Hey, hey, maybe do la. Hey, hey, do bello.